This morning, I would like to consider with you a passage out of the second chapter of Ephesians. So if you would turn there in your Bibles with me. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, will you please follow along as I read out loud to you? "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This morning I'd like to consider with you in particular the second verse, in where having told us that Christ made us alive even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. As fallen men and women, we have the horrible debility of being myopic, that we tend to be extremely nearsighted. And because we are nearsighted, we quickly lose our perspective on the bigger picture. Those of you who happen to suffer from this condition, who are nearsighted, who can't see much past the end of your nose without your glasses or contact lenses, know very well what an issue this is. That the minute you slip off your eyeglasses or take out your contact lenses, the rest of the world suddenly becomes very blurred. And this is very much how all fallen men, women, and children now walk through this life, that we tend to be blurred in our vision and our perspective of this world. We have lost, to a large degree, our ability to comprehend the bigger picture. Our tendency now is to be small-minded, to be, as is sometimes called, pig-headed, narrow-minded, prejudiced, biased. We all tend to walk through our lives in this way, and we lose sight of the fact that there is this incredible reality, that there is a cosmic struggle that is going on all around us, the size of which is difficult for us to even fathom because of our myopic tendency. Even as Christians, we struggle with maintaining a view of the world which keeps the diabolical and malicious work of our ancient foe, the devil, in view. We tend to live our lives and walk through this world looking at things as if, well, this is very normal. This is just the way it is. But in this passage before us this morning, the Apostle Paul, as he is a master of understatement, says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh and the desires of our mind," and so forth. The Apostle Paul reminds us that there is this great struggle that exists, that the devil is a prince over a horde of evil angels that are so vast in number, it is as if the heavens, the air all around us, swarmed with these beings, these creatures. even as the air in the summertime so often swarms with flies. I'm sure you all have been plagued with this kind of dilemma as the weather warms, especially out here or in heavily wooded areas. It seems as though with the first warm waves of air of spring, the air becomes filled with those creatures we know as deer flies. And for those of you who still have some hair, they love to tangle themselves in your hair and they bite. And they are miserable creatures. They plague us when you try and work outside. They are constantly biting and making you miserable. And then it seems that no sooner has the time of deer flies passed away, but then the horse flies come out. And they bite and leave such hideous welts that they bother you for days. And if you ever happen to go into some of the areas and the forested regions, there are those flies, the black flies, that come out of the creek beds. And they're miserable creatures. They bite like hornets. And every area of the world is afflicted with some form, type of fly. In Africa, there is the tsetse fly that carries with it that parasite that causes what is known as sleeping sickness. And if it's not treated, people, their lethargy grows and grows and grows. They grow weaker and weaker and weaker, and eventually they die. And so it was commonly thought by the ancient Jewish church that the air was filled with these malicious beings called demons that were like flies, and that is why they came to call the prince of these demons Beelzebub, as Jesus calls him in several times in the Gospels, which means literally Lord of the Flies. And he says, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So much does this horde of demons inhabit this realm that it is impossible for us to avoid their influence. So that the Apostle Paul says, "You he made alive who were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." The course of this world, according to its customs and its practices. And we admit that there was a time when we followed along wherever we were led by our peers or those who we deemed to be in the know, the enlightened ones. And how many of us have such deep regrets for following the pattern of whatever peer group we were a part of. It led us into deep and dark sins, and we never could have guessed that all the while we were simply being manipulated by the devil and these other wicked flies of the air. Paul says, "You once walked according to the course of this world, according to its cares and its temptations, according to the desires of this present world, fulfilling the lusts of your flesh and the wicked, the evil desires of your mind." The thing is, we never even knew we were being deluded, because the deception is so widespread. It is everywhere we look. And so we simply accepted it as the way things are. And it has never ceased to encompass every age. And that is what is meant here by the world, that you once walked according to the course of this world. That age gives way to age of corruption and pollution, of perversion and defilement. And the sense that the apostle is trying to get across is that this condition exists from cradle to grave for every human soul that is unsaved by the grace of Jesus Christ. They continue to transgress constantly. This is the course of this world. Sins and transgressions are a road or a path in which all unconverted sinners walk. And it's a dark and a crooked and a broad path which leads ultimately and finally to death and destruction. And yet it is the way that sinners walk. It is their own way. It is the way of their own choosing, though it is chosen due to deceit and hardness. They choose it. We chose it. We approved of it. We once delighted to walk in it. But of the converted sinner, it is said that you once walked in this way, or in times past you walked in this way. And it infers that you no longer walk this way. That this was the way of the course of this world. But you he made alive. That you no longer walk this way. That you can recognize it, that this is the way that sinners walk, but you don't walk this way. That he has created in you a new principle of life. And so how is it possible for people who have been converted by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to have fellowship with the world any longer? Those who say they are converted and yet continue in sin are not truly converted. They are deluding themselves. They have, in essence, created their own religion. The course of this world carries the idea that one corrupt age follows another corrupt age under the delusion of Satan, that they pass it on. The course of this world or this age refers to the external influences of that Satan uses to hold sway over men's minds. It is the ethics of this world. Satan rarely uses the philosophy of atheism to corrupt men, where they utterly deny religion. Rather, most often, he simply replaces true religion with false religion. He replaces it, true religion, a religion that is contained for us in the scriptures, the inscripturated word of God, with ideas that arise out of the imagination of men's hearts. The religions that Satan uses, which are so effective and confusing and deluding men, substitute a false belief for true saving religion. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, in chapter 21, in that section that pertains to religious worship and the Sabbath day, they wrote, "The light of nature shows that there is a God who has lordship and sovereignty over all, is good and does good to all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted, and served with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the might. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by God Himself." This is what Pastor Brett mentioned to you this morning, that we maintain as the regulative principle, that we pattern our worship after that which is found in the Scriptures. And so it is limited by his own revealed will, that he may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men, or the suggestions of Satan under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scripture. And this is where we see Satan making such inroads into our culture and our society, that he has effectively gotten so many churches to give up, to yield, to surrender in areas, key areas of orthodoxy, and they have replaced it with ideas, notions, figments of their imagination that arose from their own hearts. The religions of Satan accommodate sin and they make provision for the flesh. They appeal to the lusts and the desires of men. Even as converted sinners, unless we are actively replacing our natural and worldly thoughts with thoughts of God as he has revealed himself in the Scriptures, then we too run the risk of being manipulated by Satan, by the course of this world. This also calls attention to the fact that if there is a course of this world, it stands opposite of the course of another world, and that is the world that is to come. The world that is to come is the world that is no longer alienated from God. It is no longer under the sway of the evil one. And you he made alive who were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We once walked this way. We were of the exact same essence and would have remained continuing to walk according to the course of this world if the Holy Spirit had not awakened us to our sin. But now, we have been turned away from our former sin, out of that former path that led to destruction. We once walked that way, but no more. Friendship with this world is enmity with God. The one who holds sway over sinners is the devil, that he is the prince of the power of the air. These swarms of malicious spirits torment mankind. They inflict hideous wounds in the forms of temptations and desires that give birth to actions that defile and corrupt. They maim our spirits. They maim our persons. They pollute, they corrupt, and ultimately bring condemnation and judgment. These are the ones who entice men to commit the most horrible crimes imaginable. And even the elect, before they were converted, were enticed by Satan so that he led them captive at his will to imitate him, to do his lusts, to comply with his suggestions, to act on what he dictated, what he tempted them to do. And so we ought to never forget, dear ones, that we are saved by the grace of God, the mercy of God, that not of ourselves, and that we are absolutely dependent even still on the grace of God to keep us safe, to keep us from sinning, to protect us, to keep us steadfast in his word. When he wrote to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 11 he says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Paul says here that when a man is converted, that he is given the Spirit of God, that he takes away from that man the spirit of Satan, the spirit of this world. And every converted sinner is a saved sinner, delivered from his own sin and the coming wrath of God. He is delivered from this by the grace of God, the grace that is free, that saves us. It is an undeserved goodness and favor from God. He saves us not by our own works, the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace in the soul is a new life in the soul. Regenerated sinner becomes a living soul. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins, but He made you alive. Now you are an alive soul. You have been born of God. You live because God put His life in you. He has delivered you from the guilt of sin. He has pardoned you. He has justified you by faith. Our faith, our conversion, our eternal salvation are not works, as Paul says here, that lest any man should boast. These things are not brought to pass by anything that is done by us, and therefore all boasting is excluded. They are all a free gift of God, the effect of being quickened by His Spirit. It was His purpose to which He prepared us by blessing us with the knowledge of His will and His Holy Spirit, producing such a change in us that we should glorify God by our good conversation, by our perseverance in holiness, and that we would no longer walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, but no longer. And so this morning, if you can see that in your own heart there has been such a change that you have been turned away from the course of this world, walking according to its lusts, the desires of your flesh, then you have great need to praise God for His goodness, His kindness, His mercy to you. And I would urge you to remember that it is still a precarious position we hold in this world. That this world is filled with a teeming mass, air that swarms with evil spirits, so that you would remember your absolute dependence on God. But dear ones, if there is in you still this walking after the course of this world, denying righteousness and holiness and the ways of God and embracing this world and the things of this world, then don't deceive yourself. That is the most dangerous thing in this world. To tell yourself that you will be saved from the coming wrath, when in fact, that wrath hangs over your head. And so I would ask you to take careful spiritual stock this morning, dear ones, remembering that there is this evil horde that would convince you that you're okay when your soul is in jeopardy of eternal damnation. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, I pray that there would not be one person here who deludes themselves, gives themselves a false sense of assurance that they will get to heaven on the coattails of some other believing one in this midst, but instead, Lord, that each one here would see themselves as sinners in absolute and utter need on your saving grace, that they would not fool themselves, they would not lie to themselves, they would not be deluded, but that you would set them free from the spirit of blindness. I pray, Father, that you would watch over us and protect us, remembering that there is this evil one who prowls about seeking to destroy us. We cast ourselves utterly and completely into your care and safekeeping. In Jesus' name, amen.